This is psychologist Dr. Mark Rohde with a podcast on an incredibly important topic, triggers. Triggers are the people, places, and things that remind us of what it was like to use alcohol and drugs. Triggers are also the situations and emotions that may prompt a desire to use. This seems like it would be an incredibly important topic, given that these triggers foster a series of thoughts and feelings that eventually lead to a behavior called relapse. Please understand that there are neurologic connections in the brain that link our memories of using with all the circumstances of use. And these connections are linked to a recall of how we felt. Many people in the addictions treatment world call this euphoric recall. The connections in the brain are real. They are physical. The brain is like the craziest spider web of connectivity that could ever be conceived. Sometimes the ignorant will dismiss addictions by saying, "It's all in your head," as if to say that addictions aren't somehow real. The truth is, it is all in your head. We've got an organic adaptive computer wired to our spinal column with a vast memory bank and an incredible ability to learn and grow. And it is all in your head. Let's start with the people who are most apt to be triggers for relapse. The people that you've used with or have drank with have got to be at the top of your list. But also think about family members, close friends, or occasional friends, schoolmates, the people at work, and neighbors. Oh, you probably ought to steer clear of your old drug dealers, too. Just a random thought. Certain places are also huge, huge triggers. You've probably figured out that hanging out at crack houses would be a really bad idea. But please think about the other locations that hold special risk for you. Your dealer's house or the local bar may take top honors in this category, but depending upon your old habits, you may be triggered by certain neighborhoods, clubs, a job site, a friend's home, a convenience store, or a simple bathroom. For many in recovery, concerts are especially risky, and any location where you've used or where you've hid drugs is apt to be trouble. For some people, attending a recovery support meeting could be a trigger. The memories associated with certain locations are apt to be powerful. Your dangerous places are likely to be as unique as you are. You know the places. Do your damnedest to find ways to get to where you're going without going places that will keep you from going anywhere good. People, places, and things. Kind of sounds like you're learning the definition of a noun. The things that are the biggest triggers are often paraphernalia, but could be a song, the sight of an ATM, cash, credit cards, the TV, maybe a movie, a pill bottle, or maybe a bottle of a different kind. Our advice? Get rid of as much stuff as you can that might trigger you. Maybe you can simply throw the stuff away, maybe burn it, destroy it, perhaps a burial at sea. Put lots of distance between yourself and the stuff that will trigger you. Any comprehensive list of situational triggers are apt to be very long, and we hope that you'll think carefully about the common and uncommon situations that could lead to using. You might want to think about weddings, celebrations, holidays, paydays, bill paying, sporting events, happy hours, music events, arguments, and sexual behavior. There is something really odd about our emotions. If you thought that negative emotions like anger, hurt, abandonment, or jealousy would be triggers for relapse, you'd be right. But quite a variety of normal emotions, including tiredness, boredom, fatigue, embarrassment, or feeling relaxed, can also serve as triggers. Even more maddening is the reality that some people are triggered by really positive emotions. Could you be triggered by excitement, passion, confidence, feelings of strength, or sexual arousal? It's almost like having any feelings at all could be a risk factor. Knowing the emotions that are apt to trigger you is the key. Think about it. Write them down. Even better, download the trigger worksheet from your True Aftercare app and develop a solid plan for dealing with the whole range of triggers. As we get close to the end, let me share an interesting paradox. It is imperative that people in recovery learn how to identify and deal with triggers. But some people may be triggered just by hearing and thinking about the list of triggers that I just reviewed. If you happen to be craving something right now, please call your recovery coach or talk about it with your therapist. Our logic for dealing with triggers is incredibly simple. When addicts avoid triggers, they're likely to avoid relapse. So, triggers should be avoided at all cost, and powerful skills ought to be employed to deal with the triggers that simply can't be avoided. Please don't test your triggers. They will win, and you will lose. We sometimes hear people in recovery say that by testing themselves in tough situations, they'll become stronger in dealing with temptations. I understand the logic, but it just doesn't work. You won't become stronger. You'll just become more and more and more vulnerable. I started this podcast with the statement that triggers foster a series of thoughts and feelings that eventually lead to a behavior called relapse. Well, since thoughts lead to feelings, and feelings lead to behavior, go out there and think carefully, folks. Stay tuned for the next podcast on dealing with cravings. Thanks for listening. Be well.